ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
We said you are babes in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. These people were all about truth. These people have holy lives. Jesus said you're on the right track. And he says, I've opened the door for you, and I'm going to help you all the way from here to home. And he says, you've not denied my name. In verse 8, he says in verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thee, to know that I have loved thee. Now you think, well, how does that fit into the Philadelphian church age? Well, because they're preaching during the church age, there's a blindness in the Jewish mind. But what he says is going to happen is, and these two words are very significant in verse 9. He says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue. Circle the word make there. And then in verse 9, further he says, behold, I will make them come. And that second word is a different word. These are two different words. The first one is, I will give them of the synagogue. And the second word is, I will make in the sense of a poem. Like God says, you know, you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm going to work out something here. What's going to happen is the Philadelphian church age is going to fade off of the scenes. He's going to tell us about how he's going to keep them from the hour of temptation that's coming on the world here in a minute. But what he says is when the time comes and you're home in heaven, those people who were of the synagogue of Satan, who said they were Jews and were not Jews, why were they a synagogue of Satan? Because they were Jewish, true, physically, but they were not of the seed of Abraham. If you were to look in chapter 9 of the book of Romans, the Bible says, Paul speaking, not as though the word of God had none effect being given to Israel. He says, but they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Think of that. He says, not everybody who's an Israelite is of Israel. Israel was the one who had taken the baton. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob becomes Israel. They all had the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's how he got saved. He didn't get saved by being circumcised, and that's in Galatians. He says, how was Abraham saved? In uncircumcision. He didn't get saved by virtue of an operation. He was saved before. That's why he can be our father. You've heard it? Father Abraham, I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just pray to him. Right arm, left arm, all that stuff. How is he my father? I'm not a Jew. He's my father because he showed me what it looked like to have faith. I understand his word and I believe him. He imputes that to me for righteousness. And now I am declared righteous. I am justified fully through the blood of Christ. That's awesome. And what he's telling us is he's saying the synagogue of Satan is made up of people who are Jews and think that's it. But they're going to be broken. He says, I'm going to give the Jews. And then he turns and he says, and I'm going to make them. I'm going to plan them. And he says, in the end, he says, there's that 7 years out there. Now, this is good stuff, and I can't be totally specific because I'm running out of time. But nevertheless, what happens is 7 more years of tribulation for the Israelites, and when they see the Antichrist sitting where he ought not, they're going to turn and run for the hills. And then at length, they're going to see him whom they pierced. They're going to mourn for him as for an only son. And the Bible tells us that at that point, Jesus is going to step on the Mount of Olives, just going to split apart, and then they're going to run into the cleft. Not away, but into the cleft, because that's what they've been reading for 3.5 years, saying, what are we going to do? That man, we thought he was on our team. He's the Antichrist. He's sitting in the Holy of Holies. He's saying he's got it. Can't be. What he's saying in verse 9 is he's saying, the synagogue of Satan is people who think they're saved because they've been Jewish. Do you know if there's a synagogue of Satan, do you think there's a church of Satan? You think there are people who think they're saved because they did all the things that they were told to do? You know, it's really interesting. They say kids who are before around the age of 12, they can't do algebra because they can't really do abstract thinking. Then they get this abstract thinking thing and then they can say, oh, okay, I get it. A plus B equals 5 because A is 2 and B is 3. I get it. I get it. This is something a little bit more than just concrete thinking. This is what some people get caught up in Christianity. They think they're saved, but they're not saved because they don't have any capacity spiritually to do formal thinking. They need to go back and keep looking at the cross and let it get a hold of you. The cross of Jesus. The cross. He died for our sins. Don't say I'm a good person. You're not a good person. We're all sinners. We've all gone out of the way. I've not done anything good. Isaiah 63 said, all our righteousnesses, that's the stuff you're thinking of. He says, they're as filthy rags. And for lack of a better word, I'll just say leprous rags.
They're like rags for the leper that are wrapped over rotten flesh. He says our righteousnesses are like that. People say, well, I'm a good person and I go to church and I give some money and I pray and I read my Bible. That is not how you get saved. You come to Jesus. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm echoing a message that Billy Graham gave for some 60 years. Verse 9 says he's going to make those people, those Jews that he's going to make, he's going to poiemo. This is what's going to happen in the tribulation. He says, I'm going to make them. They're going to see him whom they pierced. They're going to get saved in a day. And it says in verse 10, it says, because you have kept my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. This is the tribulation, because it's the one that's coming upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. You see, the tribulation is not only the time of Jacob's trouble, but it's the time when the nations of the earth get to go back and say, do I really not believe? I've seen a rapture a couple of years ago. I've seen people plagued. I've seen craziness. I've seen an Antichrist. I've seen Israel. Wait a minute. I heard my grandma used to dundle me on her knee. I remember something. Chapter 7 of Revelation says great multitudes are coming out of tribulation. He says, listen. He says, I'm going to remake Israel. And those people who are of the synagogue of Satan, he says, you're going to see some pretty remarkable things. What's he doing? He's fastening their hope on the blessed hope. He's saying, look to the future. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, they're throwing rotten fruit at you. Yeah, they're hating on you. Yeah, they're vilifying you. Some are listening. Great crowds are showing up. But there are people out there mocking and laughing and chiding. And you know, it's funny because our country had such an explosion of preachers during that time. We actually outlawed alcohol in this country. We actually outlawed it. Can you imagine? We just legalized marijuana in some places across the country. We're looking at a day where everything's okay. Hey, no judgment here. God said he sought for a man. He found none. He says, you're supposed to judge. He says, judge ye righteous judgment in John chapter 7. He says, the spiritual man judges all things, but he himself is judged by no one. You are supposed to discern. You're supposed to call that wrong and that right. And it lets the chips fall where they may. The Bible says, behold, I come quickly. Now he's talking about that second coming. He says, but don't let any man take your crown. Why? Because you're on a journey. And this is a Stephanus. It is a competitor's crown. You know, preachers can let their knees buckle. Do you think Billy Graham had reason to let his knees buckle when he began to see the world going so nuts? I mean, he'd go into places and there'd be people on those platforms. We'd say, well, how could he sit up there with them? The way he could do it was because they invited him. And when they invited him, he would get to stand behind the sacred desk and say, Jesus saves. All of this stuff was kind of static. That's what I've come to understand. It was static for him. But he preached Jesus and he preached him holy and he preached him good and he preached him as a Savior. And what I'm saying to you is that the door closed last week. Philadelphia is gone now. We're full-blown Laodicean now. Laos means people. We get the word laity from it. Laos. Dicea means rule. The people rule. So we're going to do a survey. What do you really want me to talk about? Oh, talk about family issues. Talk about money issues. I had somebody call me at the church here not long ago. They said, oh, you got the AARP down there at your church telling us how to do our taxes? This is what the church is for today. We're a social service. No, we're not. Not here. We're out there telling about Jesus. And that's what we need to be as individuals, not just the preacher. Guys, listen. Don't let anybody take your crown. Because even though the church age of Philadelphia is gone, that doesn't mean there aren't still Philadelphian churches on the ground. Every one of these churches is still on. There are persecuted churches today. There are Philadelphian churches. There are Pergamos churches where the church is marrying the state. They're trying to make the underground church combine in China with the sanctioned churches of Catholicism. Even the Pope saying, yeah, you guys come out of hiding. It's okay. It's not okay. They come out. They get killed. That's what happens because they're disagreeing with what's going on. My point is there's an insidiousness about our day. We need to be sober. We need to be serious. They were holy. They kept the truth. Verse 12 says, he that overcomes, I will not only give you a crown of Stephanus that was very coveted in that day. In verse 12, it says, he that overcometh, I will make a pillar. Remember, the only place this is used in the New Testament about people is when Paul confronted Peter for pulling away from the Gentiles when James sent an entourage over. He pulled back and Paul said he was to be blamed. They're just men to me. They seem to be pillars. Why? Because everybody thinks, well, Peter, James, John, these guys. And they were. They were awesome. They were the ones who laid the foundation. But he says that they were pillars. He's going to make these people a pillar. Think about that for a minute. A pillar. Do you know what that means? That means that your story as a 21st century Christian will have a certain spin to it that's going to be awesome. You stay standing. What an amazing thing. Nobody has confronted what you have. You can flip little buttons on a computer and you can be in the worst place in the neighborhood. You used to have to go in the cold of darkness. You can be listening to the wrong things and watching the wrong things and doing the wrong things and nobody will judge you. No judgment here. In fact, you'll still look pretty good because you know how to play the game. But it's not a matter of what you're doing. It's a matter of who you are. As somebody has well said, the heart of the matter is usually a matter of the heart. And so God will let you stumble in the mud puddle after mud puddle until you get a clue and say, you know what, I don't want to go there anymore. It's not good. My conscience bearing witness to me. I have sinned. And He will forgive the moment that you come and confess. He goes on, He says, he that overcome, I'll make a pillar. So you're going to be a pillar throughout eternity, living in Jerusalem. He says, I'm going to write a name upon him of our God. I'm going to write the name of the city of God on him. He says, and I'm going to give him a new name in verse 12. It's all about this name. Why? Do you remember when Jacob was wrestling with Jesus and he said, bless me or I won't let you go. He says, all right, what's your name? My name's Jacob. He says, no more is it Jacob, it's Israel. One who wrestles with God. What is your name? You might have inklings of it. But what is your name in God's eyes? He'll tell you what it is when you get home. I hope I get a really cool name, Great Heart or something like that. I want a good one. But you know you're building that name. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. We don't behave ourselves to be saved. We behave ourselves because we are saved. And when we lean in and start doing the good works, we do it for Jesus' sake as ambassadors and epistles of Christ, seen and read of them. People are looking at us. We've got to get it right. And He says He's going to give them a new name. And He goes on and He says in verse 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You are now in the Laodicean church age, deliberately. You are there. Feet, pounce, everybody tap the ground once. Thank you. You're in the age of Laodicea. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 that wicked men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The Bible says in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, men will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, not willing to endure the sound doctrine. You see, we are living in a full-on Laodicean church age. The people are telling the churches what they want, and if you don't give it to them, they won't come anymore. And I don't find that to be unusual in the Scriptures. There was only a remnant. Remember when Elijah stood with the Mount Carmel prophets? He thought he was the only guy in the entire nation. God says, I got 3,000 in the nation. 3,000 in the whole nation? There's a couple million people in that nation? 3,000 was all he had. Jeremiah was the only guy standing. Isaiah was the only man standing. Daniel was the only man standing. You see, you are the he. Individuals. They say, those of you who hear. He said, he that hath an ear. Jesus said it over again. It's just think. He that hath an ear, let him hear. You have to just say, I'm going to listen. You can't let somebody else do your parsing for you. My job is to show you it, throw it out there. If you have questions, you mind know as yourself or come and ask, why do you think so? And get the answers, because the more you know, the more strong you will be in this day as the winds begin to come into their own in a big, big way. The Bible says the knowledge of a man's heart makes his face to shine. I hope you have a knowledge of God. It started with the power of God, came from the wisdom of God, and then animated in you the Spirit of God, who will sustain you, lift you up, hold on to you, and hold you up. Beloved, this was the fullness of my heart. You've been patient, but I'll tell you something. A door closed last couple weeks, and you are in a big, big way right at the threshold, I believe, of when Jesus is coming. And the real question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word of God.